Welcome to episode 2 of my new podcast, Barbecue and Bibles with Jasmine. This season of podcast is dedicated to the one and only Bishop T.D. Jakes. The last episode was more so of a trailer just to let you know what to expect going forward. But every episode this season, it will be based off of barbecue and honoring Bishop T.D. Jakes. And so each week, aside from this week, there will be guests. I do have a nice lineup for you of Potter's House members and just people who love the bishop and were impacted by his ministry. They're going to stop by in my backyard. As you can see, my neighbor's mowing his yard, but that's just how real it is. I have my pit smoking in the back and I'm in my backyard and we're just about to talk about the bishop. I was planning this podcast and as I was looking through some of my items, I was reminded when in Louisiana we took care of our grandmother a couple years ago, but I found this poster from Woman Thou Art Loose in New Orleans, 2001. It was a commemorative photo that Bishop T.D. Jakes had made when he was in New Orleans for Woman Thou Art Loose. And Woman Thou Art Loose is like a premier conference Bishop had. And I mean, he would sell out stadiums before Beyonce, Taylor Swift, everybody was selling out stadiums. Bishop Jakes was doing it and he was spreading the gospel. No internet, just word of mouth and TBN and just women who were just hungry to hear the word. And so Bishop Jakes came to Dallas in 1996. I was still in elementary school, maybe have been going into junior high school. And when my mom found out he was coming to Dallas, she was like, oh, we're going to the Potter's House. We're going to see Bishop. I've been watching him on TBN. He's moving from West Virginia and we're going. And when I tell you we were at the Potter's House, I feel like every Sunday, every Wednesday, if they had something on a Saturday, we were there because we just had to be in the building. And it was such a monumental time just for the church and just for the culture here in Dallas. Because granted, we had other large churches in Dallas, but this was different. I mean, if you were coming to the Potter's House, every road leading up to the Potter's House was jam-packed. Like, if you were somebody who showed up late everywhere, you weren't getting a seat. Like, just stay home. Don't even try it because you will not get in the building. And so when we would go to church, we would leave our house, which is on a regular day, maybe 30 minutes from the church, but we would have to leave at least 2 hours early. And then you would get there early and you would sit and just wait in the parking lot. And then once you get to the parking lot, people started standing outside the doors waiting for them to open the doors. And God bless all the ushers we had back then, because those ushers went through it. Because once the doors open, people would sprint down to try to get a seat. Like, you literally possibly could have gotten hurt, right? But it was a mad dash to get a seat and to secure a seat because you wanted to be in the house when the bishop spoke. And even we really didn't even care if it was Bishop, if we're being honest, because he made sure that every pastor that stepped in that pulpit was qualified. So if you made it to preach in the pulpit at the Potter's House, you were something special, because Bishop did not allow just anyone to come in and speak to us. There were times when we would have service where Bishop would have to helicopter in to get to the service. Like, how insane is that? That's not something that you traditionally hear from a pastor, let alone a black pastor in 1996. So when we think about the legacy of Bishop, we think about where he's at now, but those early days here in Dallas, it was trendsetting. We literally had everyone that you could think of come through and speak to us and preach to us at the church. And when I think about all the pastors that we had, every pastor that, like I said earlier, that every pastor that's worth their salt came and preached to us at the Potter's House. But as a child, it was just amazing because you had people that were preaching the word, and Bishop was preaching the word of God, and just the Holy Spirit would just come and just sit and rest and the Potter's House. There were sermons where Sundays where Bishop couldn't even preach because it was just the anointing was just so heavy in the room. But we started going, we would go to church every Sunday, and then we would also have a Super Sunday service. And it was one Sunday out the month, and it was an evening service. And so that's when we would typically have a guest preacher. And I've been going to church, because I mean, at the time I'm 13 years old, and hearing the word, and then Bishop Clarence McClendon preached that Sunday night. And I was wearing a plaid dress and some black sandals, and I don't know how I remember that outfit, but I walked down to the altar and gave my life to Christ. And that day, it just changed my life, just forever. Because it was from there, it's like it opened up everything. The Potter's House, it's a Bible teaching church, and so we get immersed into the word. Our youth department was booming. Like, you had children giving their life to Christ, getting filled with the Holy Ghost at church, and I'd never seen anything like it before. But the Potter's House and Bishop Jakes just cultivated this environment for just for God to just come and sit in the Potter's House. And it was just an amazing experience. And so I gave my life to God, Super Sunday. I think it may have been the summer of 97 when Bishop Clarence McClendon was there. And again, from there, my life changed. And I remember just in the Potter's House, it's so many, we had so many memorable moments. But I remember when we were in the original church, the green carpet. I think it may have been red originally, but when we were there, we changed it over to green, and we were in the process of building the building that we're currently in, and there was a big hole from construction. And Bishop would always joke and say, well, if we can't get it filled, you know, finish building it, we'll just make a big swimming pool. And we'll just go out there and we'll just swim and have large baptisms. But nevertheless, of course, we paid it off because Bishop kept his word. And everything he said in the pulpit and said, he did. I can't sit there and say Bishop ever told a lie to us in the pulpit. And we paid off both of those buildings. And so from there, I remember when we were in the process of building across the street from the Potter's House, there was a farmland, because if you ever go to the Potter's House, initially it's almost in the middle of nowhere. It's in the southern sector of Dallas, and we've built up around it a little bit, but it would be nothing but cows over there. And Bishop would get there on a Sunday and say, you know what, those cows have to go. I need that parking spot. I need that land for a parking lot. Those cows have to move. And if you come to the Potter's House today, those cows are gone. They may have been pushed way back, but we have our parking lot, okay? And a bridge. But he kept his word. And I always think about just memorable moments we had at the Potter's House. In the current building that we're in, when it was just concrete, Bishop Jakes called. We had a Sunday service. I don't even think he preached that Sunday. But he called all the members in to see the building. And we were able to write our favorite scripture in the floor of the Potter's House. So if you ever go to the Potter's House, you're literally walking on the word, because every member that Sunday wrote their scripture in permanent marker on the concrete slab of that floor. And we were just very intentional about, we had a goal and we had a plan at the Potter's House. Like, this was a house where God resided and that broken people could come to stop by, come on to the Potter's House. And I remember we paid off those debts, and just to be able to see people work and pay off $3 million, $40 million, like, that's an insane amount of money for a church to do in such a short period of time. And I don't know if we actually realized like how impactful that was. And we had different campaigns, and the people at the Potter's House really just believed in what was going on. We trusted Bishop, and we trusted the vision, and we would have campaigns like, hand me another brick, and Bishop was like, hand me another brick, and you know, and that brick was signifying, you know, more funding for that particular moment. And when I was thinking about just just the different moments at the Potter's house, I'm reminded of after Hurricane Katrina. The first thing was when Bishop went toward, I think it was the NRG Stadium in Houston. He went, and it's everyone from, a lot of people from New Orleans were in the stadium. Just, they didn't know what was going on. And so he's touring the building, and he's there with the President of the United States, George Bush. And you see these people that are in need, and they just need help. And they're running up to Bishop Jakes. Not the president. They went to Bishop because people knew, they knew Bishop. They saw him on television. They heard his sermons. They trusted him. And so when they saw Bishop, I remember watching on CNN, and CNN had to say, oh, at first they didn't know who he was. I don't think they knew who he was exactly, but they're like, oh, that's Bishop T.D. Jakes of the Potter's House of Dallas. Like, yeah, they weren't even thinking about George Bush. They wanted to be by the bishop because they knew that the bishop, at least, if nothing else, he could get a prayer up to God to help him and also to help resources. And when we came back to Dallas, when he came back to Dallas, he had a service following Katrina, because a lot of people from Katrina came to Dallas. And my cousin Cody was there. And he was in the Superdome, and they bussed him here to Dallas. But we took him to church that Sunday. And Bishop just prayed for everyone that was from New Orleans in there. And my cousin was just like, just in awe of just like the love that he was shown and felt at the Potter's house. And I always remember that, because he was like, man, I just can't believe it, you know, that people were just that open and loving and welcoming to us, because they had been through so much, and then they came to the Potter's house and they just felt welcome and they just felt God, you know. And so, yeah. And when I think about Bishop, I'm asking like every single guest, like, what's your most memorable sermon, or what's your most memorable moment of the Potter's house? And I have a couple, and I even have a bunch of sermons on tapes and VHSs. But Bishop did a sermon, a series over the tabernacle. If you ever go want to find it, it may be on YouTube, but Bishop taught on the tabernacle, and it was like the most amazing experience ever, because he had them built out a tabernacle, if I'm not mistaken. He had fresh bread he was giving out at the series, but tabernacle. He taught on the book of Ephesians. There's a sermon he taught as well called What's Love Got to Do With It? And, you know, Bishop, in his voice, he has a way of narrating stories, but he's like, what's love got to do with it? And he's like, everything. And that was just the Bishop, because not only did he preach, but he also brought the sermons alive and made it feel, I mean, it's real, but he just made you feel real, like, oh, this is really what's going on in the scripture. My second favorite is Favor Ain't Fair. I have carried Favor Ain't Fair with me like since I heard it. That may have been 2002 when he preached Favor Ain't Fair. And if you're ever going through something, I recommend you find that series and go watch. Listen to Favor Ain't Fair. He also preached a sermon called Turn It On a Dime, and just how God can turn things on around in your life. And in that series, Bishop shows up and he has a bag of dimes, and he's literally just throwing dimes across the church. Thank God no one was hit. But he was just tossing dimes on, you know, on around the pulpit. And there's also one of my favorites is, it's My Last Night on the Boat. So it's called The Last Night on the Boat. And in that one, he's talking about Peter and how Peter was just wrestling, and he just finally had to give up and just surrender to God. But it's called My Last Night on the Boat. And when I tell you Bishop preached, he preached that sermon. And he, you know, I mean, he's Bishop Jake, so he's a preacher. But, and also in the Potter's house, we would always have revivals. And we had one revival, and Bishop is like, if you want the Holy Ghost, meet me in the chapel. And me and my mom and my little sister, we went down there. And when I tell you, Bishop was jumping over the pews down in the chapel. People were getting slain in the spirit. Like, it was a whole situation down there. Like, if you weren't serious, don't even come to the chapel. But he was like, if you want the Holy Ghost, come to the chapel. And people were just lined up. And we just had amazing revivals. And I can go on and on for days and days of all the good things that happened at the Potter's House. And I'm so thankful, because even you think of the parking lot ministry, all the men that worked the parking lot and just kept people safe in general, because it was so many people coming in from all over the world just to the Potter's House. The security team, the ladies and the gentlemen who would work at the in the bookstore that were making sure those tapes were available for you after service. Our ministers and elders, these are people who sacrificed the time of their life to come and serve at the Potter's House, to work the altar and pray for you, pray for your family. I'll never forget, I was in the hospital in a tragic situation, but I remember my mom said, yeah, we told the ladies that sit beside us that you were sick, and the Potter's House intercessory team, they're praying for you. You're going to be okay. So we have all these situations where it's a large church, but it's also very family oriented, and we're also, everyone feels welcome, you know. And I just love my church. I love my bishop, and every member and every pastor that's there is fully capable of just teaching the word of God. And that's what it's about. You know, we have ministries that minister in the prison just to abuse women. Anything that you needed was literally in the Potter's House. And I believe we will continue that history, that trajectory that we were on, to continue to serve the community. But that's what, you know, the Potter's House was for. And so my last words, and again, I have a whole season to talk about Bishop. This is more so of me just expressing myself, because eventually once I have guests, you know, we'll bounce back and forth and talk. But I just want to tell Bishop, I love you. I thank you so much for submitting to God and coming to Dallas. I believe you came to Dallas for me and my family. I don't know if you came to other people, they just got the overflow of what was for us. But I do believe you came to Dallas for Jasmine and her family. And I just pray that whatever you decide to do after this, that A, you're successful, which I think you are. You've been successful at everything. And I think you hope that you're at peace and that you're happy, and then you and First Lady can just go and just enjoy life and just have a good time. But I know that you'll do well. But I just wanted to tell you that I love you, and I hate to see you go, but I understand. I get it. I want to quit my job every day, Bishop. But but I just pray that you just continue to be blessed and enjoy your life and just take care. I love you. If you want to come on the podcast, you are more than welcome. I would love to sit down and just talk with you and have some ribs with you and a little brisket, whatever you want. I'll put it on the smoker. I have my Fogo coals, best coals out. I have pecan wood. I have everything you need. Just come by and we'll eat barbecue and we can talk about you, the Potter's House, what you're doing next. But I just really want to create a space where all your members can stop by and just give you your flowers and just let you know we love you and you're the best bishop in the world. You're the best pastor in the world. You're really him. Love you.